Hello, friends. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and today we're going to honor Black History Month with a fun-filled foodie extravaganza. First of all, I want to remind you that February 15th at the Dr. Carter G. Woodson African American Museum of Florida is a fun-filled day at the Tampa Bay Collard Green Festival. It is a block party atmosphere with delicious soul food with an emphasis on collards. Wind your way through a farmer's market, food trucks, wine and beer, vendors, local artisans, and live performances. You can even enter the Collard Green Cook-Off Contest for prize money and bragging rights. The festival will take place from 9 to 4 and admission is free. We'll hear more about this from Wendy Wesley when she's in our downtown studio. So the rich tapestry of African American food and cuisine is not just food, it's a journey through history. Each dish tells a story of resilience, creativity, and cultural fusion, tracing back to the times of slavery where resourcefulness turned humble ingredients into rich, flavorful meals. Over generations, these recipes have been passed down, preserving not just taste, but heritage. And I want to thank Arcadia Publishing because I am going to be exploring the historical significance of beloved recipes in these cookbooks that they have featured. First, let's start with Abby Fisher, pioneering cookbook author and entrepreneur. Mrs. Fisher Knows About Old Southern Cooking is a cookbook written in 1881 by former slave and mixed-race woman named Abby Fisher. It is the second known cookbook written by an African-American woman. And she made it her way following emancipation with her family to San Francisco in 1877. And she began to amass a celebrity-like following. Alongside her husband, Alexander, Abby became a wildly popular caterer and pickle manufacturer. This success pushed the husband and wife duo to formalize their business in the San Francisco area as Mrs. Abby Fisher and Company. And the secret ingredient to Abby's prestige was her ability to blend the ingredients and flavors of two cultures very well, resulting in her gaining access to spaces someone with Black heritage would have previously been kept out of. She could neither read nor write, but she dictated the recipes published in her cookbook. The book was unknown even to food historians until in 1984, an original volume was purchased by Harvard University's library on an auction from Sotheby's. So what Mrs. Fisher knows about old Southern cooking is a terrific way to explore African-American heritage cooking during Black History Month. Also is another cookbook is The Queen of Creole, Leah Chase, and her iconic restaurant cookbook. And she was, it's called the Dookie Chase Cookbook. Leah Chase was a beloved chef based in New Orleans and the proud owner of the iconic Dookie Chase restaurant. The Treasured Spot was more than a restaurant. It was a gathering place for the city's Black communities and one of the few public venues where African Americans could come together to discuss important strategies during the Civil Rights Movement. Leah and her husband Edgar warmly welcomed Black voter registration organizers, the NAACP, local political meetings, and even notable civil rights leaders such as Ernest Dutch Morrill, and later on Martin Luther King and the Freedom Riders. In the cozy upstairs room of their beloved restaurant, they hosted secret strategy discussions while Leah served up her famous gumbo and fried chicken. That's right, folks. When the politics get going, you still got to eat. And Dookie Chase became a cherished spot that even though local officials were aware of these illegal meetings, they couldn't bear to stop them, fearing public outrage. So the restaurant was a crucial hub when King and the Freedom Riders sought to learn from the Baton Rouge bus boycott, providing the perfect space for their efforts. So that is another cookbook available from Arcadia Publishing. They do a lot of historical books, not just this. How about George Washington Carver? Did you know that he was the agricultural pioneer who wrote How to Grow the Peanut? You know, every time I miss Jimmy Carter, I think about George Washington Carver because he was not just an agricultural scientist and an inventor. He promoted alternative crops to cotton and methods to prevent soil depletion way before his time. He was one of the most prominent Black scientists of the early 20th century. And folks, if you just tuned in, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. We're celebrating Black History Month at Radio St. Pete, and we're talking about African-American food and culture in advance of the Collard Festival, February 15th. Under his leadership, we're talking about George Washington Carver's How to Grow the Peanut, the experiment station of Tuskegee published over 40 practical bulletins for farmers, many written by him. They included recipes, advice for poor farmers, and that was a great book. It was published in 1916, and it is just as delicious today and has been republished by Arcadia Press and Southern Foods and Civil Rights. Food has been, continues to be an essential part of any movement for progressive change. From home cooks and professional chefs to local eateries and bakeries, food has helped activists continue marching for change for generations. Paschal's Restaurant in Atlanta provided safety and comfort food for civil rights eaters, leaders. Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam operated their own farms, dairies, and bakeries in the 60s. The Sandwich Brigade organized efforts to feed thousands at the March on Washington. So author Fred Opie of Southern Food and Civil Rights, Feeding the Revolution, details the way it nourished the fight for freedom. It's just an amazing book. I can't even tell you, I just read it last night. So before I get off the air, I want to tell you about trailblazing TV star, yes, the broadcaster Lena Richard. She was a chef, a cookbook author, a restaurateur, a frozen food entrepreneur, and television host from New Orleans, Louisiana. In 1949, Richard became the first Black woman to host her own television cooking show. She predates our own Julia Child. Her show aired from October 1949 to November 1915 on local television station WDSU. She began her culinary training working as a domestic worker employed by the Varin family of New Orleans, and they sent her to the Fannie Farmer Cooking School in Boston. When she graduated in 1918, she returned to New Orleans and started a catering business, and during the next two decades, she worked as a cook for the Orleans Club, an elite organization for white women, but she also started multiple businesses. And in 1937, Richard and her daughter Marie started a cooking school. It targeted young Black men and women, and she sought to train them in the culinary sciences so as to give them a chance to make a career for themselves in a city that historically disenfranchised African Americans. In 1939, Richard's self-published Lena Richard's Cookbook was there, and then Huffton Mission reissued it as a New Orleans cookbook. I have it sitting right here on my shelf. She was then recruited by Charles and Constance Stern to be the head chef of the recently opened Bird and Bottle Inn in Garrison, New York, and she was highly successful. Her Shrimp Soup Louisiana was well-loved. She returned to New Orleans in 1941 and opened Lena's Eatery, located at 2720 LaSalle Street. So there's also one more, Creole Sausage Queen, Landmark Family Business. It just goes on and on. So if you want to know more about Arcadia Publishing, please go to their website. It is a terrific historical book publisher. And like our friend Rui Farias, who tells us so much about history in St. Pete, the history of African-American food also has deep roots here. We welcome you to the Collard Greens February 15th. And if you want to learn more about these books, on ArcadiaPublishing.com. Please go to them during Black History Month and learn about unsung heroes who made a difference with their cooking. I'm Nanette Weiser, your host. Have a great day.